Back on Young Turks pre-election special. We got new folks here. Ben and I are still here. Brett Ehrlich. Then Rob Hubel.
What?
And we forgot to tell you, that's your camera, Rob.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rob co-created The Human Giant with Aziz Ansari and Paul Scherer. He is in The League, Children's Hospital, The Goldbergs, Bob's Burger, Burgers. And
prequel, Bob's Burger.
Yeah,
that was one location.
Yeah. That's right. Got a lot of burgers.
You know what? Yeah, they sold that first burger, and you know what? We should make another one.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah. I would say everything. I'd say you're in everything.
Not everything.
Most things.
But it's a fun job. Comedy's fun. Not as fun as this. This is more fun than doing comedy.
How?
Because you're saving lives.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that, Rob. But also in transparent, and Brett's right. If you go to IMDb, Rob is in every single thing you've ever seen.
I don't know about that.
Okay, and now also Young Turks. All right, so Rob, I'm going to start with a super hard-hitting question.
Please.
Should people vote?
Ooh, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Cenk. I'm going to say, yeah, people should vote, I guess. Here's my very unique take on it, is, and I'm coming at this totally from a unique perspective, which is I am against white nationalism. I know that sounds crazy. I don't like Nazis, but that's just me. That's why I'm voting.
But look, there are good people on both sides.
Well, are there?
Right.
Are there? Right. Are there really?
You know what a reporter should have asked them is when he said that comment is, so could you name one good
Yeah,
Nazi?
Exactly.
Like, just no, it's okay. You say good people almost. Just name one good Nazi.
At the very end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, when they're all melting, there's not like a couple good Nazis that are like, hey, I'm not melting. My face isn't melting because I'm a good guy.
Right, like, because if you go down the list of the major Nazis, you're like, I mean, Hitler, obviously not a good guy. Right?
Not a good guy.
Right, I think you probably
Himmler, not a good guy.
Cool.
Goering, liked art, fat, jovial. But not a good guy.
Cool.
Not a good guy in the end. Eichmann, not a good guy. Like it's it's actually harder than you think. Bormann, Martin Bormann, he was just he was like Hitler's secretary. Like he. But you know what? In the end, kind of a dick.
Yeah. Do you know what you're kind of doing? You're kind of humble bragging how many Nazis you know.
Yeah, you know a lot. That was it. You can rattle off
much,
a lot of
I'm
Nazis.
I'm pretty much done at five. Yeah.
The funny thing is, I actually thought you were going to get to a good one. Because I thought you were going to go to Rudolf Hess. Who actually,
oh, Rudolf Hess, no. Not a good guy. Could have gone with Hess, yeah. Oh, wait, Heydrich. Terrible guy.
Yeah.
So the question is, now we're getting an interesting territory, because how many Nazis do you know?
That's Seven.
So wait, yeah. There's a story, Ben, about how your grandfather was he on
Hitler's
list?
Didn't even do
list?
Goebbels. It's eight.
Who else was an inglorious bastard?
Goebbels, because my grandfather, Hermann Mankiewicz, who co-wrote the screenplay to Citizen Kane, he wrote a film in like 1933 or 34, I think it's 33, called Mad Dog of Europe, about a maniacal fascist Jew hater who comes to power in an unnamed European country, right? Mm-hmm. And it was banned in Germany, and it was largely banned in the United States by the production code, and even though it didn't have teeth yet, but they still had enough teeth to think, hey, we don't want to irritate, there are a lot of German-American folks here in the United States, and they buy tickets, and we don't want to easy. Hold on, this is not the kind of movie we want. It never got made, but it got a script worked its way to Germany, and Goebbels read it, and so my grandfather's movies were banned in Germany, which is just, I mean, I don't know how many of them were going to get out in Germany anyway. It wasn't like, you know, they weren't like, hey, I can't wait to see Pride of St. Louis, the Dizzy Dean story, and it was going to open in Dusseldorf, and it was going to be huge. But still, it is a badge of honor. Like, my dad was on Nixon's enemies list, and my grandfather's movies got banned in Nazi Germany. It's kind of too
Well, that's
bold.
Like that's cool, getting an F rating from the NRA. Like,
That's right.
If there's anything better, it's getting an F rating from Hitler.
See Hitler's letter grade. Yeah.
That's right. Hitler be like Steve, Hitler, Steve King. B minus.
B minus. Like more the outward Jew hate.
Yeah. He's like Mankiewicz. 9, 9, 9. So was that, did you say 1933?
I think 1933.
No, but you know, I knew that he was on the banned list, which is amazing and great. I mean, like as soon as I made Hitler's banned list, I'd be like, I'm done here. My work is done, okay? Yeah. But if you think about that, that is actually telling for what we're discussing today, because that was 33, it wasn't 43, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and in 33, there was a real debate in this country. And they didn't make the movie because they were afraid of offending people.
That's right.
Because they thought, well, I mean, he says he wants to kill all the Jews. And you know, he said it in Mein Kampf. He didn't, you know, he didn't wind up doing it till later, right? But they say, but that'll offend some people in this country, so let's not call him a fascist, a Nazi. I mean, at that time, they called themselves Nazis, but let's not call them the bad guys. The jury's out on that. Well, the jury came in, and by the time that he came in, there was 13 million dead people. So look, Sandra Day O'Connor's quote is always haunting to me. So we should avoid those beginnings so we could avoid those ends.
We had a debate, Cenk, on Old School, like where I talked to, I gotta find the piece, I saved it somewhere. A piece in the New York Review of Books about how the fascism went in, if the degree to which it's already come to America, and if it continues to become more politically relevant, and if those in power head more in that direction, that it won't have to look like Germany. So stop drawing those comparisons, because again, they've already got the state-run, essentially state-controlled media, this propaganda arm, which means you don't have to arrest the journalists. So, and you said something along the lines of, hey man, when they start arresting the journalists, they've won. Like that, then we're too late. Mm-hmm. So it's not crazy for us to sit around here and be concerned about it. It is not reactionary, it's not nuts. I mean, I've thought about you saying that. And like Sandra Day O'Connor's line, it's so obvious. But yeah, when they're rounding people up, that's not the time to say, you know what, we should do something about this.
Right? Yeah. It's too late by then. And so that's why I keep emphasizing how important I think this election is. And I don't think it's at all an exaggeration to talk about fascists when there are people talking about the Jews will not replace us, and Soros is the puppet master, etc. And you know, let alone what they say about all different communities. We talked a lot about it today. So. We can leave it at that, but I just want to say one last thing about it, which is that, like, people now say, well, yeah, I know, but the guy who shut up the synagogue, he's crazy. The guy who shut up the yoga place in Tallahassee, he's crazy. And that guy's crazy. This guy's the guy who set the bombs, he's crazy. Yeah, but when the Nazis took charge, do you think they were the most sane people in Germany? No, they were the craziest people in Germany, and they were the most prone to violence. And they were, so when the Proud Boys are going around beating up people on the streets that disagree with them politically, yeah, it's not. You remember the Nazi Party was a very small percentage of the German population, but it was the most violent part, it was the most ardent part, the most political part, and the one that. And by the way, they didn't win a majority either. They got into power not winning a majority. And then they began the violence, and they began intimidation. And by the time that intimidation turns a corner, and when it turns that corner, it's too late. So that's why, I mean, you might say it's way too much, but the op-ed that I keep referring to that I wrote earlier today, I said one last vote. Now, I don't think, and I hope not, that it's not one last vote. But if Trump is emboldened, and these guys are all emboldened, you know, at some point they stopped voting in Germany. And so we have to guard our democracy. Later is not the time. Tomorrow is the time, period. All right, now let's get back to some of the actual races, okay? So we started talking about the governor's races, and I just want to tell you real quick now about a bunch of other ones. We talked about Florida and Georgia, another super tight one in Kansas between Laura Kelly, who's a Democrat, versus Kris Kobach. That's another race that if Kobach wins, they should immediately do a recount, because he also appointed almost everyone that is overseeing the elections. There was already incredibly weird so-called computer glitch in Johnson County in the primary. His Republican opponent should have challenged it, but he was browbeaten by the Republican establishment to accept the results. You know, I'm super worried that in Kansas, where the establishment is mainly Republican, that if he wins, they'll just be done with it. And if he wins legitimately, of course they should be done with it. We believe in democracy, right? And it's not like Sam Brownback was a terrible, horrible Republican governor of Kansas, but there was no dispute about him winning. He won. Sad day. We you know, we should have done better, right?
And yeah.
Can I ask a question about that? Like, what is going to happen with the situation in like Dodge City? Like, they just moved the polling place like miles away from out of town so that all the Hispanic population couldn't get there and couldn't. So there's like 13,000 people that have to go way out of their way to vote. And so what, there's probably like a lawsuit that will get settled like in, you know, the spring or something, like way after the, but like, how is that possible?
Well, specifically, like that goes through the Secretary of State,
right?
Who is Chris Kobach, who's running for governor. I think you probably are referring just to Georgia.
Yeah.
The governor's race in Georgia. And like even Jimmy Carter like emerged and was like, I'm pretty sure you should not do that.
But why is that not a thing that you shouldn't be able to oversee your own election? Like, that's a joke.
It sounds like Banana Republic things that are like, when the next thing you hear after you hear something like that is the incumbent won by 99%. Yeah.
You know, after, right, that's a, you know, when in 2004, when the election between George Bush and John Kerry came down to Ohio, Ken Blackwell, the Secretary of State in Ohio at the time, I think that was his name, he ran the Bush campaign in Ohio, and he was the Secretary of State. And I got it, and I think Bush won anyway. But, you know, it's, I said this in the last hour, it is, we do some insane things in this country. The fact that we have different voting systems in different states for federal offices that affect all of us is insane. You should vote the same way everywhere, and there should be a paper trail everywhere. And the way we gerrymander districts is insane. That should be decided in a nonpartisan committee that has like 10-year terms that grown-ups appoint. And the Secretary of State, the people who run the elections, should not be voted on. That's crazy. That, again, should be a grown-up job run by sort of professionals. Bureaucrats. I know the Republicans hate the bureaucrats, but there should be like the people who are in the Secretary of State office in Florida. It'd be how long you been there? I've been 36 years. I've been in the Secretary of State's office in Florida, and that's who should determine in every state who runs the election, not Chris Kobach now running for governor, and not Brian Kemp now running for governor. It's insane.
And there's like three or four ballot measures that are up like tomorrow. Crazy that it's tomorrow. We've been counting it down for so long. But there's a three or four that are up, and there's different approaches that each of those states look to take when it comes to those independent review boards. So you have Michigan and Utah, and there's one more. And the different approaches are like either even numbers or odd numbers of people on the you know, to be determined commission. One of them, I think Michigan is four members of the incumbent party. It might be wrong about which state, but one is four members of the biggest party, four members of the second biggest party. So that's like Democrats and Republicans because of our two thing. And then four independent people. So there's 12 total, but there are three groups. So that should kind of break it up. But you still have the independents, like of the folks that have no skin in the game that aren't registered to any party. And then you have the parties themselves make their best like appeal to say, all right, here's how I want to structure it. And it looks like the salamander that inspired gerrymandering as a term anyway.
Right,
yeah, I do have to, as a so-called newscaster, point out that Brett said four and did this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, five.
Did I really?
Five minus one. Yeah. Obviously.
What an idiot.
No one caught it. No one caught it.
Until they
and we're gonna edit that part out.
Do you know there's a ballot measure in Florida that it's one measure, and the measure would give the state the authority to limit offshore oil drilling and restrict vaping indoors. And it's one measure.
That's so weird.
Those two things go together. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Like ebony and ivory.
I heard that on the radio today. Now, as I say it out loud, I'm like, that can't be true.
No, anything
was
can be
I?
True.
So,
but right now, that's a very, very close election in Kansas. Great news, Scott Walker is losing in Wisconsin. So polls have him on average down about five from the ones that I saw that are the most recent. And he's running against Tony Evers in Wisconsin. And Evers is from education. So that's particularly great, okay? That someone from the education community would beat Scott Walker. Now, The Koch brothers.
It's very close. It's very, very, very close in Wisconsin. Yeah. Walker's up in one poll. Evers is up in two or three others, but it's super close.
Yeah, but what's the chance that a Democrat loses Wisconsin?
Can't happen.
We shouldn't even go there.
I just wish Hillary would get off her ass and go to Wisconsin now.
Yeah. Don't mention Hillary. That's five Fox News pieces because you mentioned Hillary.
Yeah. No, but in a surprising twist, Tony Evers also decided not to visit Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's Tony. Okay.
No, luckily he's there, so he's doing well. Ben Jealous versus Larry Hogan in Maryland, in the Maryland governor's race. And there, Ben Jealous, a wonderful progressive, a huge Bernie Sanders supporter, former NAACP president, was going into the race in the primaries, was the underdog. But ran a brilliant, brilliant race and wound up winning actually fairly comfortably in the primaries. A much bigger challenge even so in the general, where Larry Hogan has convinced people that he's a moderate Republican, when in reality, of course, that species went extinct a couple of decades ago and there is no such thing. But he does every once in a while say, hey, you know what? I disagree with Donald Trump. I don't think black people are different than white people. They're like, oh, moderate Republican Larry Hogan. Yeah.
I must say, to Larry Hogan's credit, he would not win a Republican primary in 90% of the states in this country. I mean,
he's very popular.
Everybody should vote for Ben Jealous in Maryland. I wish I was still a registered voter in Maryland so I could vote for Ben Jealous. But as Republicans go, he is maybe the last of a breed that doesn't exist anymore. And maybe it was just necessity because he wanted, it's a blue state and the way that, you know, peculiarly there are Republican governors who have come off, you know, guys like Bill Weld and Charlie Baker in Massachusetts.
Yeah, don't believe the hype. There are no moderate Republicans.
Can I ask another?
And by the way, just real quick, Larry Hogan, of course, takes corporate PAC money. Ben Jealous does not. He's a just Democrat. He's one of the very few just Democrat candidates that's a governor. So just keep that in mind. But Jealous is trailing.
Although there have been barely any polls. I haven't been able to find any moderately recent poll in Maryland. But yeah, the theory is that Hogan's a heavy favorite.
I have one more thing to say about that.
Well, I just wanted to talk about polling for just a second because, first of all, I don't think we should believe any of the polls and we should vote harder than ever, no matter what the polls say. But just in general, are most polls still like landline polls where they're called? I mean, who has a landline? But I'm asking a real question. Great. So one out of the four of us. But,
yeah.
But
yeah.
So most polls are just calling landlines?
No, much of them have called cell phones. One of the great things about 538 is they rank the polls. Okay. Like you'll look at a poll here, Mitchell Research and Communications, it gets a D-. Here, I'm going to show you this poll, and then I'm going to tell you this poll's crap.
Yeah, well, to be fair, the Mitchell folks said we look forward to a D- rating.
That's right. Yeah.
And some polls do it through fax. So it's really modern.
They do snail mail. They'll write you. They'll mail it to you.
Yeah.
You can mail it back.
Just getting the facts out of the machine. We're winning by. No, there's a negative. There's a negative.
You're smearing it.
But Rob, you've accidentally wandered into one of my favorite topics, which is what's wrong with the polls, which is that it's not the landlines versus cell phones as much anymore. That used to be a huge issue.
Yeah.
It's likely voters that they poll, and that is what most of them do. But in a lot of the races, they're unlikely voters. That's why Trump won. That's why Bernie Sanders won in the primaries in Michigan. It was a 20-point flip because they both are populists, and they bring out people who don't normally vote. That's why Beto still has a chance in Texas because there's a lot of young voters who don't normally vote who might not show up in the polling. Mm-hmm. And that leads perfectly into the last point I was going to make about the Ben Jealous race. Look, keeping it real, African-American voters ain't nothing to mess with. And so these African-American gubernatorial candidates, Ben Jealous, Stacey Abrams, and Andrew Gillum, have a secret weapon, which is the African-American vote. And the more that the Republicans antagonize them, voter suppression in Florida, outwardly racist statements in Florida, did I say Florida earlier? In Georgia, voter suppression in Georgia, although they do it almost everywhere. In Florida, the outwardly racist statements by DeSantis.
The robocalls in Georgia.
The robocalls in Georgia are just hideous.
There's an Oprah one today that came out. We covered that.
And then
I don't think that was really Oprah.
No, it wasn't Oprah.
That's weird.
Two different ones. Two different robocalls.
You really got to get your numbers right. This is not two.
And who does a thumb who's not a thousand years old?
Are you just giving yourself like a thumbs up to whatever this hand is
doing? I got four right.
I'm reminded again of when Michael Fassbender gave away that he wasn't a German, that he was a British spy because he used...
They asked for three drinks.
Yeah. And the Nazi recognized that, oh, no, this is... Or he said like this, Germans do like this. But anyway, he betrayed the fact that... in that great barroom shootout there in
Inglourious Basterds. Oh no, Brett's a right winger.
Yep. And I have 11 statements to make about that. Okay.
So you were saying about the robocalls in Georgia?
There's a lot of that. And you were saying about how the more antagonizing there is towards certain voting blocks, the more it emboldens them to come out, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and so it looks like early voting in Georgia's through the roof, highest of. Percentage-wise of any state, so I think they messed with the wrong people.
The good pollsters take that into account as best they can. It doesn't mean that you're wrong, but they take into account, like they ask people in their models, they're taking into account people who have not voted and therefore would be traditional unlikely voters, but are particularly motivated about this race, have a keen level of interest, and then they're more likely to include them in the likely voter block. But it's super hard to tell, and of course, right. They can get overrun.
To put it in a compulsive gambler parlance, we've all got.
No, now we're having a conversation.
Who asked for that? Tell me more. Always, yeah.
Are you? We're reading the racing form, but they still got to run the race. That's like right. Everyone's looking at this matrix of stuff, but you got to run the race, and that's what makes it so awesome.
Is it? Yeah. Am I a compulsive gambler? In fact, I was on the drive here. The traffic was so bad, so I was sitting in traffic, so I was able to grab my phone. And when I was at the Cowboy Titan game had already kicked off. So I was not able to get a bet down, and I screamed out loud.
You're a compulsive gambler and a terrible driver.
And a danger to my fellow Angelinos.
I'm worried you're going to get into two accidents.
Nice job.
Anyway, last one, because we got to go. Last governor's race I wanted to mention is the one in Vermont. Again, a moderate Republican, Phil Scott, doing relatively well in the polls, but God, man, things are up and down. Christine Hultquist, who would be the first transgender governor in the history of America. She's also a Justice Democrat and has been on the show several times, and also a business owner. Her explanation of the electric grid and how we could both help climate change and create a tremendous amount of jobs in this country was a great one on Rebel Headquarters when she was on last time. So, and if you know anyone's gonna have the first transgender governor, Vermont's a pretty good choice. In fact, it drives me crazy that the same state that has Bernie Sanders as a senator has a Republican as a governor. It's totally unacceptable.
Yeah.
And so make sure the Senate and the House races are getting a lot of attention, and they will tomorrow night as we do our coverage. We suspected we weren't going to get to all the races we wanted to get to, and we've barely made it through the ballot measures and the governor's races tonight. But don't forget the governors, and there's some huge races there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you, Brett, for joining us. We appreciate it. You're number one. That's right. And Omar Miller up next. And so we do want to finally get to some of those Senate races as well, including the ones that drive me crazy. We'll be right back.